Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm going to read you a little bit of Wesley this morning. He knew all about revival. And of course, he was actually an Anglican minister, and he was encouraging revival in the churches. Most churches wouldn't allow him to preach in the churches, so he preached in the churchyards. And then, of course, out in the fields to the miners and so on. And he described a true Christian as opposed to a churchgoer. I thought you might like to listen to his description of a true Christian. This is what they were all aspiring to live in those days. He is one who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. God is the joy of his heart and the desire of his soul, which is continually crying, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth whom I desire besides thee. My God and my all, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Yes. He is therefore happy in God, yes, always happy, as having in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life and overflowing his soul with peace and joy. Perfect love, having now cast out fear, he rejoices evermore. Yes, his joy is full, and all his bones cry out, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten me again to a living hope of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for me." He who has this hope is full of immortality, gives thanks in everything, and knowing what the will of God is will of God in Christ Jesus concerning him. From Jesus, therefore, he cheerfully receives all, saying, "Good is the will of the Lord." And whether he gives or takes away, equally blessing the name of the Lord. Whether in ease or pain, whether in sickness or health, whether in life or death, he gives thanks from the ground of the heart to him who orders everything for his good, into whose hands he has wholly committed his body and soul, as into the hands of a faithful Creator. He is therefore anxiously careful for nothing, as having cast all his care on him who cares for him, and in all things resting on him after making his requests known to him with thanksgiving. For indeed he prays without ceasing. At all times the language of his heart is this: "To thee is my mouth, though without a voice, and my silence speaketh unto thee." His heart is lifted up to God at all times and in all places. In this he is never hindered, much less interrupted, by any person or thing. In retirement or company, in leisure, business, or conversation, his heart is ever with the Lord. Whether he lie down or rise up, God is in all his thoughts. He walks with God continually, having the loving eye of his soul fixed on him, and everywhere seeing him that is invisible. And loving God, he loves his neighbor as himself. He loves every man as his own soul. He loves his enemies, yes, and the enemies of God. And if it be not in his power to do to them that hate him, yet he ceases not to pray for them, though they spurn his love and still despitefully use him and persecute him. For he is pure in heart. Love has purified his heart from envy, malice, wrath, and every unkind temper, feeling, attitude. It has cleansed him from pride, whereof only comes contention. And he has now put on mercy, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And indeed, all possible ground for contention on his part is cut off. For none can take from him what he desires, seeing he loves not the world, nor any of the things of the world, but all his desire is unto God and to the remembrance of his name. Agreeable to this, his one desire is the one design of his life, namely, to do not his own will, but the will of him that sent him. His one intention at all times and in all places is not to please himself, but to please him who loves his soul. He hath a single eye, and because his eye is single, his whole body is full of light. The whole is light, as when the bright shining of a candle lightens the house. God reigns alone. All that is in the soul is holiness to the Lord. There is not a motion in his heart, but is according to his will. Every thought that arises points to him and is in obedience to the law of Christ. And the tree is known by its fruit. For as he loves God, so he keeps his commandments, not only some or most of them, but all, from the least to the greatest. He is not content to keep the whole law and offend in one point, but has in all points a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Whatever God has forbidden, he avoids. Whatever God has encouraged, he does. He runs the way of God's commandments. Now he has set his heart at liberty. Now God has set his heart, set him free, really. It is his glory and joy so to do. It is his daily crown of rejoicing to do the will of God on earth as it is done in heaven. All the commandments of God he accordingly keeps, and that with all his might. For his obedience is in proportion to his love, the source from whence it flows. And therefore, loving God with all his heart, he serves him with all his strength. He continually presents his soul and body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, entirely and without reserve, devoting himself, all he has, all he is, to his glory. All the talents he has, he constantly employs according to his master's will. Every power and faculty of his soul, every member of his body. As a result, whatever he does is all to the glory of God. His one invariable rule is this: whatever I do in word or deed, I do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God, even the Father, through him. So, nothing of the world will at all hinder his running the race that is set before him. He cannot therefore lay up treasures on earth, no more than he can take fire into his heart. He cannot speak evil of his neighbor any more than he can lie either to God or man. He cannot utter an unkind word to anyone, for love keeps the door of his lips. He cannot speak idle words, no corrupt conversation ever comes out of his mouth, as in all that is not good to the use of edifying, not fit to minister grace to his hearers. But whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is just and of good report, he thinks, speaks, and acts for the glory of God, who is our Savior in all things, etc. As I was reading that again and praying through it, God reminded me, you've lived all that, because that is how we lived in revival. So it's not some impossible ideal. It's what the Holy Spirit will work in us. But if you just sort of read it at face value, you can think, well, I've got a long way to go. But then our God can take us a long way. And every time we meet together and pray, God is taking us further along that that path. So I just read that so that you know what God's going to do with you. This is what he's taking you into, where he just becomes so big in your life that he really is everything to you. And of course, because you then seek first the kingdom, everything else gets added to you without you having desire and longing for other things. He just provides. And you are satisfied, you are happy, you are just totally, completely fulfilled, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of our lives. Now, let's just for a couple of moments see where we are now in the whole process that God is working out in our lives to bring us through to that point. What Wesley is really saying there is that a Christian's life is to be full of Jesus in every part and in every way and all the time. And if our lives are full of Jesus, they're full of love, God's love, for all and everyone. And that we are full of holiness so that we desire his will and his glory in all things. Now, you are somewhere along the way from where you were when we started towards that goal. And the kind of process that God is taking you through, and different people will be at different stages of this, is that the more you are emptied of self, the more space you make for Jesus. So the more, as Wesley was saying there, the more fully you are yielded to him, the more he can reveal of himself to you. It's not just a question of praying out and so on. What you're doing now in that regard is very, very important. But of course, it's not just praying, it's what we pray that is significant. And so the more fully we are yielded to him, the more Jesus will be able to fill us. In other words, he comes and fills every space that is given to him. Every area of your life that has been occupied by self, right, becomes occupied then by Jesus. And your longing is not for what you want, but for what he wants. And, you know, for the most part, that's okay. But it's when God begins to touch parts of our lives where there's something we really want or we want to hold on to. We're either unwilling or afraid to yield those particular areas to him. That's when there's a bit of battling going on in us, a bit of contention. And of course, we then don't make any further progress until we yield that territory to him. Elsewhere in this book, you know, Wesley says that God's desire is to give us the territory. But that has to begin with him having the territory in our lives. So the more we allow him to be on the throne of our lives. Now, this is an important thing. Jesus wants to be enthroned in you, but he will not share the throne with anyone. He will not share the throne with self. He will not share the throne with anyone else who is dear to you. He alone is on the throne of your life. He alone is the Lord. He alone is the King. Hallelujah. So it is bringing everything under his sovereign rule and reign, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. And of course, the more this process takes place, the freer you become, the happier you become, and the more peaceful you become. So, you know, there's so many good things that happen as a result. And of course, what God does amongst us corporately changes, because the more of that freedom that is in the individuals, the more the body unites in that freedom. The more space the individual believers in the body give for Jesus to fill with his love, the more love fills the whole body. So there's a knock-on effect, what is happening to us personally, to what happens in the body. And of course, then there is a knock-on effect to how the body influences the world around. That there's more love, more light, more holiness, more power, and so on. And I won't go into things anymore now, except just to say that Jesus is everything. So he is the love that God wants to fill your life, your whole soul. He is your holiness. He is your power. So in possessing him and giving more space to him and the freedom for him to rule and reign as fully as possible in you, you are giving space to all that he is and all that he can do, not only in you, but through you in the lives of others. So we're going to continue to see this whole process developing amongst us. It's not going to, you know, develop just because, finish, this process is not going to finish just because the 21 days of fasting and feasting are coming to an end. I mean, the whole process is going to go on after. This has just sort of initiated something and got us going, if you like, got us into the flow. But we'll need to keep going. And the more this becomes the desire of our hearts, the more you will encounter God. The Spirit of God will just come upon you personally. The Spirit of God will come upon us corporately at times. But this has to be the desire of your heart, not of your head. While it's just something that you see is right and good and that you ought to do, and that you do here because everybody else is doing it, you're not going to make much progress. If you remember that testimony that I gave you students last week about what happened, it was only when we abandoned our own time to seek the Lord. You know, coming here in God's time, if you like, you know, when you have to be here, you're not going to make much progress by just seeking God in that way unless in your own time. And that was the purpose of the media fast, that you had time, more time with the Lord and more time with one another. But it's only in as much as you give your own time to the Lord that you're really going to make progress. Because otherwise you say, well, he's only Lord of my work life or of my college life. He's only Lord of my work time or my college time. Anybody hearing? So, you know, if we love him and are devoted to him, as Wesley was saying there, it's all day, every day. We're those who rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, because he is our life. And those of you who are married and have families, when you live in this, your marriage is so blessed, your family is so blessed. Everybody whose lives you touch are blessed. So praise God. Amen. He hasn't started this process in us to leave us midway, sort of suspended in limbo. He's going to take us all the way through. So every time you come in here, especially, you know, not just in these times, but on your own, the early mornings and other times, you're going to make progress. Sometimes it won't feel like progress, but actually what you're doing as you're praying, because it's not a matter of feelings, is it? But what you're doing as you pray and as you pour out your heart to God is you are opening up yourself more and more to what He can do in you. You're giving Him the room and the space. You're giving Him time to work in you. And that's all He wants. He needs the space, the time, and He will do in you what He needs to do in you, what He wants to do in you. Hallelujah. So it's good news because, you know, this, I want you to understand, you know, actually, I cheated a little bit. I didn't read the first three words he said because I said, you know, a Christian is this. Actually, what he said in the book is, a Methodist is. Now, because, of course, that's what was happening. All those that got revived were called Methodists. This was before the Methodist Church existed. But if you know anything about Methodists today, they're not remotely like that, most of them. But to him, this is what a Methodist is. This is what a revived believer is. This is what a true Christian is. And, of course, it's all scriptural. We can't disagree with him. And we can only say, well, Lord, it's through your mercy and through your grace. So we praise him for the blood because the blood deals with all the negative things. And we praise him for his grace and for the power of his spirit by which he fills us with all that is good and positive. So, beloved, just make room for him. Keep making more and more space for him and he will come and fill it. Where you are now in this whole process is in proportion to two things: how much you love him at this moment and how much space you've made for him so far. And if you see that there's more for him to do, that means you need to give him more space so that he can bring you into a much greater love for him. Amen. Okay, let's all stand and just praise the Lord. See, these guys have been all this way before us. Remember, there were hundreds of thousands of Methodists, ordinary people all over the nation, living like this. It wasn't just for the elite few that were doing the preaching. This is what he says a Methodist is. This is what a true believer who has been born again and has received the Holy Spirit, this is what he is like. So come on, let's just make space for the Lord now as you pray. Jesus. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemptions of our bodies. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. For the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Thank you, Lord, that you work it all out in us by your Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you that those who live in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Thank you, Lord, that we have crucified the passion, the flesh with its passions and desires. And our hearts are intent on pleasing you, in honoring you, in fulfilling your will and purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Thank you, Lord, we can't fulfill all this by our efforts at obedience. But thank you that your Spirit works in us, that love, so that we desire to obey you. Out of our love for you, we desire to fulfill all that you order us to do. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you know the end from the beginning. Thank you that you see what you are making us into. You don't just see us as we are now. Thank you that you see us as we will become. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puparazatabaria letu bakalazidaba. Boratabaria letu bakalazidari sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Poparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. Oh, paparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. Poparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandabalandama. Poparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. Poparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama kalazinama. O paparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. O paparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. O paparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. O papakalazatabakalazitri sandama kalazitri sandama. Poparazatabaria leto bakalazitri sandama. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Christ is my life. To live is Christ, the Word of God says. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. Oh, Jesus. To live is Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To live is Christ. To die is gain. That's what Paul says. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The blood and the spirit. The blood and the spirit. Popara zata para zata paria leto bakalasito ba. The blood and the spirit. Popara zata paria leto bakalasito di santama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Just thank Him for what He's working in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just be seated again for a few moments. You'll find that the whole process of revival is about the blood and the spirit. That as we were praying then, the blood cleanses us from every defilement, every negative, and that leaves space then for the Spirit to come and fill what before was full of darkness, sin, compromise, or whatever. this book won't help you now. I told you to, if you can get hold of the book by Duncan Campbell, do so. But this won't really help you because it's a book about the conversations and the leaflets and documents that were flying between Wesley and others who were wanting him to compromise his preaching. And he said he dare not compromise the gospel. He dare not water down what the scriptures say about the life of a believer. And so, you know, what he was saying was for everyone. I know that some of that language was ancient language and perhaps a little bit difficult, especially those of you for whom English is not your first language. I spent some time yesterday really praying through this myself and listening to what God was saying to me. So I'm just going to read some of that, not some of the more personal things, which none of your business, but some of the, so that you can just perhaps get a greater grasp of it. It is essential to remember that Christ is your life. So all these ideals can only be realized through submission to him. So every part of your life is to be yielded in sacrifice to me. Every part. Your whole heart is to be mine without any caveats, no exceptions. You devote yourself entirely to me. Employ the mind of Christ that I have given you, and so walk as he did in all things. This will require discipline and determination, but can only be accomplished by trust in me. Love is perfection, and perfection is perfect love. Remember the Lord saying, aim for perfection. This is the love that I revealed during my humanity. Such love reveals my glory and will enable you to be the happy, fulfilled person I want you to be. You will walk in fellowship with me as your Father, your Savior, your Lord, and King. You will live at one with me in the power of my Spirit. I will not share the throne of your life with anyone or anything else. All other loves will be subject to your love for me. I will have no rivals for your heart. Your thoughts, words, and actions are to glorify me, for all of them will be done in love and will therefore radiate something of that love. It is right to desire to be possessed by my pure and holy love. At the same time, you will walk with assurance of faith, praising me daily for the power of my blood, with your confidence firmly in me and in my faithful love towards you. You will trust in my grace at all times, for this will always be sufficient for you. You will enjoy peace of mind because this delivers you from striving in your own strength to please me. In your heart, you will continue to be delivered from every fleshly desire. You will hate the flesh as I do and love to walk in the Spirit as I do. You will cease from every known sin, trusting in the anointing of my holiness upon you. You will love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will be the joy of your heart and the desire of your soul, your God and your all. I myself am the strength of your heart and your portion forever. There could be no greater gift. You will walk in pure joy, with a spring of living water welling up within you and pouring out of you to bless those around you, no matter what the context. This will fill your soul with both peace and joy. My perfect love in you will deliver you from all fear and enable you to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. You will bless me both in word and deed, thankful for the hope you have, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fail. You will not carry any cares or burdens on your shoulders, for you are yoked with me, and I will take off of you all that you cast on me, and everything. And everything you pray about, you will pray with expectant faith and with thanksgiving. Prayer is to be the language of your heart. So you will lift up your heart to me at all times and in all places. This will cause many practical changes in your life, all of them for the better. You will find me in your thoughts, no matter where you are or what your situation. You will discern my involvement with you in everything at all times. You will truly live with me and in me, keeping your eyes fixed on me. Walking in this love will affect the way you see others, what you say of them, and how you act towards them. You will love those who have opposed you and pray for their well-being. I will keep you and protect you from any who would harm you in any way. The love in which you walk will act as a protection around you. I have cleansed out of your heart every impurity, all malice, envy, anger, and every negative attitude. I have done this because, as with all else, I am saying to you now, it has become the desire of your heart. My love in you has cleansed you from all pride and filled you with my compassion, with mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and long-suffering. You have been set free from love for the world and the things of this world. Your sole desire is to please me and to glorify my name. You will not fear to bear witness to me and to seek my glory in all things. Your desire is for my will to be done, and so you have surrendered your will to my will. Your eye will give light to your body, for you will look upon everyone with the eyes of holy love and will turn away from anything that I consider to be impure. So in these ways I will reign in your life, so that every aspect of your soul reflects my holiness. Your heart and mind are set on obeying me. When I was a child, I won a prize at school for handwriting. Now I can't read it. You avoid what is unholy in my sight and embrace all that I ask of you. And you will rejoice at the way my holiness imparts others as a result. Yes, you will wear the crown I have given you, and so do my heavenly will here on earth. One of the things Wesley says is that your crown is to do the will of God. Your obedience will be the outworking of your love for me. Your body is mine, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to me, so you will devote yourself to me wholly and without reserve. You don't need to hear that bit. I restore you to the full blessings of my holiness and love in a wonderful way, without any striving, but only by trusting in me and my word in your heart. And so your aim is to do everything in word or deed in my name, giving thanks to your heavenly Father through the Christ in whom you live and who lives in you. So nothing will be allowed to hinder you in the race I set before you. I will not make the way difficult, but will go before you to level and broaden the way beneath your feet. And as you go on the narrow way, you will store up for yourself treasure in heaven. You will not speak negatively of anyone and will keep all corrupt talk from your lips. You will keep your mind set on what is pure, lovely, and just, submitting yourself to me in all things. I know you do not have perfect knowledge and that you are not infallible. Nevertheless, in your weakness, you will continue to live in me, trusting in me, being guided into all truth by my Spirit. He will enable you to resist the temptation to compromise in any way, for you will walk in my righteous ways, not in sin. For you have been crucified with me, and it is no longer you who live, but Christ in you. You do not have to strive to accomplish anything that I have said to you. All this is yours already in Christ. He is your life. And so in this world you are to be as I am. And you can only imagine the glory that this gives me and the fruit that this will produce in your life and ministry. So that's sort of putting it in our context. And what the Lord said to me is, keep speaking that over your life. Every day, just keep speaking all that over your life. Even that which you think is not being fully realized yet, keep speaking it. Because the more you keep speaking it, the more you will live in it, and the more it will be realized in you. Don't keep speaking what you lack, keep speaking what you have in me. Keep speaking that those objectives to which I'm leading you. Amen. So it would be good for you to write down what your aims are scripturally. You can base it upon that, or as long as it's based on scripture, that's the important thing. And to keep speaking these things over your life, over your life, over your life. Why? Because you place your life under the words you speak. So we're not crying for some ideal that is beyond us, but we're moving into what God is prepared to do in us. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.